Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. These days, most of us find that life is anything but a game.
At last. I've been waiting for someone to use the word game in the opening announcement for the last 14 years.
Why?
Because he knows the game and is dying to tell us about it.
No, really, Charles. It's a jolly good game. It's called Mix-Up Marriages. It's a very difficult game, so don't feel too badly about it if you can't think of anything to begin with.
Any what to begin with.
I knew you'd be excited. I'll give you an example. You take a famous girl's Christian name and put it with a famous chap's surname and get a funny answer. For instance, Tuesday Weld, the actress, marries David Knight, the actor, so she becomes Tuesday Knight.
Oh, I see. Well, you go first, as you know the game, Commander Murray.
No. You two have a go. You find it a bit tricky, didn't you get the hang of it?
No, it's all right, sir. No, I've got one.
Mm?
Yes. If Annie Ross, the singer, marries John Laurie, the actor, she'd end up as Annie Laurie.
Well, not bad.
Yeah, if Winnie Shaw, the tennis player, marries Lot, the biblical character, she ends up as Winnie Lot.
if Beau Brummel marries,
Chelsea Brown, the entertainer, marries Lloyd Bridges, she becomes Chelsea Bridges.
You keep out of this.
If Henry VIII's wife, Kathleen Parr, married Charles Lamb instead, she'd have become a Parr Lamb.
That's enough. Now, if Minnie Mouse marries King Kong... No, that's ridiculous in the first place.
How about if Donna Sheridan married Robert Shaw... She'd end up as a prehistoric dinosaur.
Yeah, they're not bad. Now,
if Goldie Hawn married the cricketer Tony Locke, she'd become a Goldilocks.
Wait a minute. Now.
And if Honor Blackman married Richard Todd, she'd end up on a Todd.
I've got one. If Queen Victoria married Mark Twain, she'd end up as a Victoria Twain.
That's
a cheat. I don't know why I bother to suggest it. It's a rotten game anyway.
Life is also anything but a game to the crew of HMS Troutbridge, especially Captain Povey, who's due to find out very shortly on what is supposed to be a goodwill mission to Manila, capital of the Philippines.
Madame Toupe's economical and almost undetectable wig center. Wigs, hair pieces, false mustaches and beards for every occasion. If you haven't got it, we cover it. Who is speaking?
This is agent number 2. I wish to speak to the mistress.
The mistress speaking. One moment, agent number 2. I will switch on my personal telephone recorder that agent number 3 has just repaired for me, so that not one word of your urgent message shall be lost. Take a memo. Remind me to exterminate agent number 3. I will take your message personally. Speak now, agent number 2.
The unsuspecting bald British naval fool is approaching Madame Toupe's economical and almost undetectable weak center. As arranged, the bald British naval fool has fallen for your incredibly clever plot.
Good work, agent number 2. The bald naval fool should be in my economical and almost undetectable wig center any time now. I shall have his free wig ready for him with the totally undetectable microdot film stuck inside it.
Ah, how brilliant you are, Miss Les.
Yes, agent number 2, I know I am. Please tell everybody.
Now, wait a minute. If the daughter of King William of Orange married Sir Robert Peel, she'd end up as orange peel.
It's an absolutely flagrant cheat. And shut up, the game's over.
Only because you can't think of one. And then if Susan Hayward married the Prime Minister, she'd end up as Hayward's Heath.
Is he like this all the time?
No, no, sir, no. Only 24 hours a day.
Well, you're welcome to it. Now, gentlemen, if you'll excuse me, I'll just go into this shop. I want to buy a little surprise for my dear wife, Ramona.
Surprise? Well, frankly, sir, if you were looking for a souvenir, I would bet that the last thing Mrs. Povey requires is a false moustache. She's got one of her own.
No. I mean the shop next door where they sell the rock lettered Manila all the way through. She likes proof of where I'd be.
Oh, very well, Captain Furry. We'll see you back at the ship with your stick of rock.
If the girl called Cigarette in Beau Geste married the film producer, Sidney Box, she'd end up as a cigarette box.
Mr. Phillips, once and for all, will you stop playing the game? I thought I'd made it absolutely clear that I won with Victoria Twain.
Hold it a minute. In case no one else but Pertwee's noticed, old Thundercut didn't go into the rock shop. He nipped into Madame Toupet's Bonts and Barnett repair shop.
I'd say you don't think old Baldy is actually going to buy a...
We'll never know, sir. Well, not until he raises his hat.
Oriental Clottish Agent Number 3. Your clumsy Oriental hammer has hit my Oriental flinger, and my Oriental digit hurts inscrutably.
Sally Agent Number 1.
Sometimes I think you are accident-prone, Agent Number 3. Then sometimes I think you are a very loyal servant of the greatest international criminal in the world, our illustrious employer, the Master. And sometimes again, I think you are the biggest stupid clot with a hammer that ever lived. And this time, my Oriental DJ tells me I'm right. Who blasted the gong?
It wasn't me, Agent Number 1.
It certainly wasn't me, Agent Number 3.
No, it wasn't either of you, Clutterball. No, it was I.
The Master.
Yes, the Master. And before we go any further, what is this heap of spokes and old rickshaw tires doing on my priceless 702-year-old Chinese carpet?
Oops. Sally Master.
Oops, Sally Master.
And stop stubbing your fag ends out on it.
Rickshaw almost repaired with hammer and nails, Master.
Would the greatest criminal in the world, otherwise known as the Master, care to place posterior on Oriental seat in rickshaw?
Not on your Oriental Nelly. I have not forgotten my last voyage on this seat of Chinese torture.
We did our best, Master.
It wasn't good enough, Agents 1 and 3. If you recall, you two, Clutterboy, you have pulled me 2 miles up the mountainside in that heap of spokes and old tires to within 10 yards of the local race office, on which I was to casually hurl my bomb in order to get rid of their records office and therefore my bill.
Oh, yes, Master.
Oh, no, Master. You will also recall that at the very moment I pulled the pin out of the bomb prior to throwing it, the 2 wooden shafts of this clapped-out old rickshaw snapped off, at which point we automatically parted company. And to my utter astonishment, I began an uncontrolled descent down the mountainside. Backwards.
Sorry, Master.
Not so much as I. For halfway down the hill, I had a decision to make. Either I put the live bomb in my pocket and tried to dismiss it from my mind, or I casually threw it away.
Sorry, Master.
I selected the latter course. Unfortunately, when I casually threw it away, I was passing my own house. The devastation was unbelievable.
sorry, master. Sorry about that.
So was I. Mind you, I wasn't able to witness most of the explosion because I was still speeding on my way down the hill, backwards, at 50 miles an hour, in an unstoppable rickshaw, towards the harbor.
Sorry, master.
But not so much as I was, you clever boys. For you will recall, if you remember your geography, that should you be traveling down the hill, backwards, and out of control, once you pass the harbor, and then the reservoir, the next place of interest is the sewage pump.
Oh, no, master. Oh, no, my
father. Oh, yes, you clever boy. My rickshaw and I arrived at the sewage farm wall, where we parted company. The wheels fell off, and I was propelled through the air into the nearest police station, where they fined me 50 quid, because you two clever boys had let my rickshaw road tax run out. All right, vanish, my clever boy, vanish. That will be my business partner, the mistress. Come in, my dear, through the bead curtain. Oh, pish. The fifth time those beads have come apart since Monday. Come in, my dear, come in. Please stay right there where you are, Madam Mistress.
I'll be glad to. Walking about on this lot sounds like living in a packet of crisps.
So, what's new, my dear?
It's a game. If Barbara Windsor married Roy Castle, she'd end up as Windsor Castle.
On the other hand, if Barbara Windsor married Roy Castle, she could end up as Barbara Castle. And that shouldn't happen to anybody. Anyway, it's a rotten, stinking game. Well, what else is new?
Merely that my terrifyingly efficient organization has obtained the microdot film of the defenses of Singapore Harbor and hidden it in a totally unsuspected place.
So, what else is new? The microdot film that you have glued underneath Captain Povey's economical and almost undetectable wig was known to me within 2 minutes and 10 seconds of that unbelievable red-headed toupee being stuck on Captain Povey's bald head.
Who leaked?
Don't look at me. It was one of your terrifyingly efficient organizations.
Then there is only one thing for it. You, the master, and I, the mistress, must merge.
Crying out loud. I'm far too young to marry, mistress.
Am I so old and ugly to look at? Am I so unattractive to look at? Do I not have a beautiful face? Do I not have a slender swan-like neck? Do I not have an absolutely perfect 38-inch bosom? Do I not have a wasp-like waist that drives men's senses mad? And do I not have a sylph-like thighs, perfect legs and slender ankles?
Yes, but you've left out the best bit.
I can't have done. What is it?
Have you got a color television set?
In every room.
What a clever girl you are. You know, I'm beginning to think that I'm not too young to marry after all. Merge me.
I knew you'd see it my way. Now, here is my plan. You will not know that when Captain Povey is aboard HMS Troutbridge and on the high seas heading for Casablanca, he will be abducted.
And sold to the Muscovadian government for 26 million crapolas.
I could spit. Can nobody keep their big trap shut? If you will help me, we will split it down the middle. 60% to me, 40% to you.
Done. Only the other way round. I presume that you have your own personal rickshaw waiting for you outside.
Not likely. I now have a bike. I've never felt the same about rickshaws since my unfortunate accident 2 years ago.
And what was that?
In an attempt to blow up the local rates office and therefore to get rid of my bill.
Uh-huh.
The shafts of my rickshaw snapped off.
Mm-hmm.
And to my utter astonishment, I careered down the mountainside, still carrying the bomb.
Not?
Yes, backwards.
But don't tell me you ended up in the police station.
No, I blew up the sewage farm.
You know, someone somewhere is making ruddy rotten rickshaws. Well, it's been a pleasure meeting you, my dear. Goodbye. Number 3 will give you your bicycle clips on the way out.
Goodbye.
You bombed, Master?
Yes, Agent Number 1. I want you to get my personal clap-counter rickshaw out of the stable and tow me to the dockside as soon as the British frigate Troutbridge is tied up.
It will be a pleasure, Master.
I doubt that very much. But I've got to go and abduct a certain hairy-headed and micro-dotted Captain Bowley.
But how, Master?
With the aid of a bogus invitation for him and his bogus barnet to attend a bogus dinner at Government House. I shall soon have Captain Bowley and his economical wig in my possession, and the micro-dot film as well. The day has not yet dawned when a mere woman can beat the master.
Don't you worry, Captain Povey. You leave it to us. We'll get that wig off somehow.
You've got to. I mean, I've been invited to this important dinner at Government House, and as it's official, I can't go if I can't get my hat on over this infernal false hair.
A kettle's boiling.
Right, now, come along, Captain Povey. We'll steam it off. Stick your head over the spout.
I've tried all that. It's the most incredible glue I've ever met.
Ah, in that case, it's got to be Plan B. Now, hand me that bowl, Commander Murray.
Yes.
Now, pour the boiling water in.
Right. That should be enough. Yes, but what are you going to do?
Stick your head in it.
What?
It will soak it off.
Oh, no, you won't. I'm not putting my head in there. It's boiling.
Now, make your mind up. Either you want that wig off or you don't.
But I'm not going to put my head into boiling water. Well, even if the wig does come off, I shall not only be balded, I shall also be scalded.
I'm trying to be as tolerant as I can. I mean, you were the one who came to ask for our advice and help, wasn't you, Commander Morrison?
Yeah, you're right. Practically on his knees. Once and for all, I am not sticking my head into a bowl of boiling water.
Very well. If you refuse to cooperate, we'll just have to try something else. I do hate people who back out at the last moment, don't you, Commander Mouser?
You're so right, Mr. Phillips. After all, we servants of Her Majesty should be able to tolerate a little discomfort, like sticking our heads in boiling water.
All right, if you're so clever, Commander Murray, you stick your head in the boiling water.
Oh, well, in my case, it's not necessary because, unlike some people, my hair is still my own.
Yes, and I can't stick mine in, because if I did, it would wreck my blonde rinse.
Righty, there are only 2 answers. I shall go and sandpaper the inside of Captain Povey's cap to try and make it fit. And in the meantime, you, Mr. Phillips, had better give his ludicrous wig a short back and sides with the scissors.
You're absolutely right, sir. Absolutely right. Now then. Now, hold the head steady, sir.
Are you absolutely sure you know what you're doing?
Leave it to me, sir. Yeah. Lovely day, isn't it? Fancy anything for the 2:30?
What are you dribbling on about? You're not a real hairdresser.
The gentleman who was in the chair before you told me about a very amusing game. For instance, if Fanny Craddock married Graham Hill,
she'd end up as Fanny Hill. Well, I've got another one. It's even better. You see, it's Ema Sumer.
Oh, no, not again!
Now, don't worry, sir. We'll soon stop it. Your ear will soon heal up. We've still got plenty of sticking plaster left. They tell me there's a very good dog in the fifth race at Wimbledon tonight.
Mr. Phillips, once and for all, you are not a real hairdresser. You are not Vidal Sassoon or Mr. T.C. Weasley.
I know. I'm Lovable Leslie, the hairstylist.
You're lacerating Leslie, the butchering barber. Look at my neck! Look at my ears! Look at my forehead! I'm covered in sticking plaster! Even the canvas of my wig has got sticking plaster on it!
It's hardly my fault that you bleed so easily. You must have a sensitive skin. None of my other customers ever complained.
Mr. Phillips, you've never had any other customers! You were a sub-lieutenant in the Royal Navy, not a hairdresser!
Hair stylist.
Right, problem solved. I've sandpapered your hat, bunged it in the oven, and according to Abel Seaman Tiddy's slide rule, it's now size 9.5 instead of 6 7/8.
Yeah, would you mind taking a seat, sir? I'll attend you in a moment.
Eh? What's Noddy on about this time?
Noddy, nothing. He's suddenly become Sweeney Todd, the demon barber. Look what he's done to me. I'm a mass of shaved canvas and sticking plaster.
Well, never mind, sir. Don't panic. Now I've stretched your hat, it should cover everything. If you'd like to try it on for size.
Yummy. Where's he gone?
Help me out! I can't see!
Don't panic, sir. I'll get your hat off your head and pad the lining out with some old copies of the Navy News.
Right, sir. While we're waiting for this gentleman to get his hat off, what would you like, sir? Shave and shampoo? Or short back and side?
Oh, shut up!
Well, Captain Proby, have a nice time.
How I'm going to get through the entire evening without taking my hat off, I'll never know.
Just blind them with science, sir. Swear blind, it's an old Navy custom.
I've just thought of something. If any we could get a brain surgeon from Harley Street, he could tackle your wig from the inside. I wouldn't mind acting as midwife.
I would suggest that you and your bald canvas totally ignore him. I think he's done enough damage for one day.
Excuse, please.
Why, what have you done?
Captain Povich.
Yes, that's me.
Klaptas Lickshaw arrived at foot of gangway to take you to government lamps.
Oh, so all right, yes, I'm ready.
Follow me, please.
Well, good night, Mary Phillips. See you in the morning.
Don't forget to keep your hat on.
No, I won't.
Don't forget to keep your hat on. Don't forget to keep your hat on. Don't forget to keep your hat on.
Good evening, Captain Purvey. Won't you kindly take a seat beside me in my clapped-out rickshaw?
But I thought the rickshaw was for me. Who are you?
Oh, allow me to introduce myself. I am the governor's personal aide-de-camp. The name is Captain Hubert Dillbody. Now, will you please climb aboard?
Oh, yes. How kind of the governor to send someone as important as you to meet me. Oh, my dear wife will be pleased when I tell her the news.
Splendid, you clever boy. Numbers 1 and 3.
Yes, master. Yes, master.
Mush. Well, well, boy. Oh, passes. It's the mistress on her armed tandem. And with her is Agent Number 2 as rear gunner.
What's going on?
Quiet, you economical, wig-headed English twit, or I'll fire.
Wig? Does everybody know I've got a false piece?
Everybody in Manila knows you have a piece. Right, Master. You've had your little bit of fun. Now hand over the canvas-headed twit with the big hat.
I would if I were you. If you don't, I will open fire.
You'll do nothing of the sort, you trigger-happy, not-so-clever girl. If you blow Baldy up, we're both lost.
Just what's going on?
Oh, be quiet. Be quiet. Congratulations, my dear, on nearly outsmarting the master.
What do you mean, nearly outsmarting you?
Because I have a gun pressed into the side of Baldy's ribs.
What is going on?
So, it seems it is still meant.
Oh, sorry, master.
Slingshaw Blossom again.
Quick, Toby, help me out. Help me out. Help me out by going backwards. It's no new experience for me, believe me. Now relax, relax. At least we're not heading for the sewage farm.
Quick, agent number two, pedal for it.
Where to?
Back to my economical wig shop. We must not get involved.
Let's go to that.
Sorry, Mr. Clef, my finger slipped.
Help, help.
What's happening? What's going on?
Help, help.
Water's dissolved the glue. It's sinking, and so am I.
Lummy, what a funny time to go swimming.
Not swimming, you prick. They're drowning. Hang on, we'll throw you a line.
Just a minute, before you bother about that, you know, if Glynis Johns, the actress, married the air raid warden in Dad's Army, who's played by Bill Pertwee, she'd end up as Johns Pertwee.
That's a genius.
No, on the other hand, if... If Robert Stevens married Barbara Murray, she'd end up as Stevens Murray.
That's another genius!
Help! Help!
And finally, if Leslie Caron marries Sid Phillips, the band leader, she'd end up as Leslie Phillips.
Never have won him!
Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee have been trying to master the Navy life, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the CO, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Richard Caldicott was Captain Povey. Heather Chasen was agent number two, Tenniel Evans was agent number one, Michael Bates was agent number three. And a special welcome to June Whitfield as the mistress of a terrifyingly efficient organization. The announcer was Barry Haynes, the show was produced by Alastair Scott Johnson.